What's better? I want to have you listen to some famous "it's better to" quotes. Like, "It is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you are a fool than to open it and to remove all doubt," or to prove it, yes. And that's attributed to Mark Twain, but also attributed to Abraham Lincoln. No one is positive who said it, but both of them have been attributed. It could be one that's even not one of those two. "It's better to lead from behind and to put others in front." That comes from Nelson Mandela. "It's better to know nothing than to know what ain't so." That's from Josh Billings, a 19th century comedian. It's been a long time. We hear stuff about that now, but it's an old one. "It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." That's just a Chinese proverb. "It is better to give than to receive." Do you know where that's from? The Bible. It is, Acts 20:35. "It's better to be a human being dissatisfied than a pig satisfied." That's from John Stuart Mill, a 19th century philosopher. Here's one. This is on cards all the time, and we say it's in romantic situations. "It is better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all." But do you know where it came from? It's Alfred Lord Tennyson, the poet from the 19th century. It's not just someone who wrote a greeting card. It's like a highfalutin kind of a writer, an important person. Everyone who writes is an important person. Every person is important, but you know what I mean, right? "It's better to know some of the questions than all of the answers." That's from James Thurber, author from the 20th century. And here's a few, maybe, that aren't famous quotes, but they're quotes nonetheless. I don't know exactly where they come from. Like, "It's better to do right than to believe right." No controversy there, right? We could probably talk about that one at length, but I'm just offering it as a quote. "It's better to ask questions than to know answers." Similar to James Thurber, but one that has some traction nowadays. "It's better to ask questions than to know answers." And then this last one, almost the last one. "It's better to wonder than to know." I like that one. It's good to wonder. And who could forget, though, this last one, immortalized by Billy Crystal in, more than 25 years ago on Saturday Night Live. "It is better to look good than to feel good." I didn't do it well. Do you remember that one? Fernando Lamas, "It is better to look good than to feel good." Can anyone do a better impersonation than I can? Probably Thaddeus or Caleb. Caleb's the impersonating one. He could do that. "It is better to look good than to feel good," which always was followed by the other phrase. What was that? Thank you. And in this morning's Bible reading from Psalm 84, another "better is" quote. "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." Yeah, that's a beautiful statement. It's in a psalm that just oozes praise to God. So if you're going to start making a list of reasons that you praise God, or just really good things, like the kids, they said, what's the best day? And one said it was camping. One said it was watching TV. Another said, I think it was eating donuts at breakfast. Do you have any "your best day ever" or "better is"? If you're going to start making a list of really, really good things, what would be on that list? Are you bold enough to say it? You can if you want to.
Wedding day.
Wedding day. Wedding day is the greatest day ever. Score points for you, yes. Yeah, excellent. Because your bride has gone out and is not hearing that, make sure that there is a report that your wedding day was the best day ever. What's another best day ever? After a good night's sleep, which is fleeting sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. What else? The best day ever? Birth of a child, yeah. For the father, usually. For the mother, it is in retrospect. And often it's like, oh, that was really hard. But it's the best day ever after you look at it. So it's like the moment after, I guess. What else? Best day ever? I didn't hear what. On stage performing. Especially for people who get that, right? Yeah. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Oozing praise to God. Listen to some of these statements from that psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their sights on pilgrimage. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. God is a sun and a shield. Blessed are those who trust in you. It's beautiful. I mean, it really is a beautiful psalm, and it does ooze praise to God. But before we let the moment pass, let me offer a screeching dissent to Psalm 84. I think that this psalm is filled with either wishful thinking or inauthentic praise. And now there's a gasp, right? Folks may say these words and sing songs that sound just like it. But compared to the way we live, they seem totally empty. I think it's one of the emptinesses of so many really cool, really catchy, very singable praise songs that we sing in church and other churches sing in church that are often filled with, God, you're so great, God, you're so great, God, you're so great, God, you're so great, I just want to hang out with you, God. In some ways, a few of my friends, I know we're snarky about it, but we look at each other and say, it's another Jesus is my boyfriend songs. Because it sort of comes off that way. If we were, though, to really write a similar psalm to Psalm 84 that described the way we really feel instead of the way we think we ought to feel, it would probably go more like this. It would go, our church building needs repairs and upgrades, God. I'm crying for there to be some kind of equality between the ones who have too much and those who don't have enough. There are lots of people who are homeless in the world. God, what is up with that? The people who are lucky enough to be sheltered by you really like you. But what about the ones who have no shelter? Do you hate them? Those people who have what they need, are they really doing something right? Or is it they're just keeping too much stuff? Why do things just get better and better for the ones who have? Are you listening, God? I hope so. You better be. Please hear the cries of your people, God. It's better to have a place to live than to be homeless. I'd rather have a job, any job, right now. God, you're the one who shines and blesses. So why do you hold back from the people who really need it? It's hard to trust you, God, but I'm trying. I just kind of took the lines from the psalm, this psalm that oozes praise, and put a twist on it that is something more in keeping with the likely emotions that people feel nowadays. And what are we to do? Are we going to wait for God to swoop in and fix everything? Because I really wish that would happen. Are we going to yell and scream and complain that it doesn't happen? Because that's easy to do. Or I wonder if we can let the words of the psalm and even the contrary psalm inspire us to walk on our faith journey, knowing that God, who is the author of grace and salvation, has called us to reach out to one another in love. And as God's people, we can respond to God's call, not because it earns us any points, unlike saying the right thing in church for your bride, like the best day ever is the day you got married. There, I've said it. He said that out loud in front of everyone. Yeah. That does earn your points. I mean, no question. But saying the right thing in church or doing the right thing, none of that earns us points. God's love points. So we can respond to God's call simply because it's God's desire for us. We can do things that make a difference in people's lives. We really can. We can be advocates for the end of homelessness. We can be advocates for the end of hunger. We can be active in organizations that help the marginalized and the exploited. We can share the story of our faith with others. Wherever we are in our faith journey, it doesn't have to be completed because it never is. And our faith stories are important. The struggles and the successes and everything in between. We can live out our covenant to be an open and affirming faith community. We can live out our faith in the community. And we can live out our faith in the community. Remember the difference. There is faith, as in I am a person of faith, and this is my faith journey, and I share it with people in the community. But I also have faith in this area. I have faith in Downers Grove. I have faith in Darien. I have faith in Woodridge. I have faith in Clarendon Hills. I don't want to skip any names, but you know, Lyle. Remember, there's an online community called Faith In, the Faith In Project, faithinproject.org that the United Church of Christ has started. You can go there. It's fledgling. It's just really beginning and not a whole lot of people involved with it yet, but it is to help communities and individuals say that I have faith in my community. There's a St. Paul's Faith In Community and a Downers Grove Faith In Community. I mean, we can find ways to live out that faith. And as a community, there's a bunch of us gathered here today, and I would hazard to say that we don't agree on everything. Probably right? Yeah? So when we're experiencing areas of disagreement over whatever, and let's just name a few. How about Obamacare, sexuality, abortion, war, the elections? And we can refuse to engage in name-calling. We can refuse to engage in lies or tactics meant to demonize a person with a different opinion. We can acknowledge that people of deep faith have and still do disagree about many things, significant things. Instead, we can take time to learn and listen. I was thinking this morning, how could St. Paul's be involved in a discourse that refuse to engage in name-calling, lies, or tactics meant to demonize, because that seems to be the name of the election now. It seems to be the name of politics lately. I don't know if we can, but what if we had a forum for whoever wanted to come, but all we talked about were things that we could agree on? Maybe it would be really short. But what if we had a forum, and we even opened it up to all the political parties and all the political candidates that wanted to come and said, this is what we agree on, so we can start somewhere. Because, you know, communities always do really well at what they agree on. We don't know what that always is. But there has to be one little thing that the left and the right, the north and the south, the east and the west, agree on. We can take time to listen and to learn. Maybe be an example for the rest of the world to follow. Maybe be the beginning of a discourse that says enough. Enough name-calling, lies, and tactics meant to demonize or belittle somebody else. And above all, especially as a faith community, we can follow the two rules. You know the two rules. I say them often enough. I really want that 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down, when someone says, what are the two most important things that you can say? It's love God and love everyone. And if you've stopped believing in God, you can still say it's love everyone. Or if you just want to boil it down to one thing, if the word love is still there. I'm not encouraging you to stop believing in God, by the way, but I know that happens along some people's journey. Love God and love everyone. Follow those rules in every thought, in every action, in every response. I know that this faith community, St. Paul's United Church of Christ. And as we go out into the communities surrounding us, we can look forward in hope to a world where we will all live that way, loving God and loving everyone one day. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for our best days ever. Thank you for the times that are our worst days ever, and thank you for your presence. Help us, O God, to be your people no matter what day it is. Help us to be a people of love for you and for others. Help us to be a people who set an example of love for all to see. In Jesus' name, amen.